And so you just want the person catching it, and you want the person emailing for help right away.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
So what are we talking about today, Heaton?
I think we're going to talk about mistakes today.
Holy shit. Okay, so what exactly do we want to talk about when it comes to mistakes?
Yeah, thesis. Let's have a thesis for this one. So I think everybody makes mistakes. You make them in your personal life. You make them in your professional life when you're starting a business, running a business, working in a business. And I kind of want to talk about it. One angle I'll take, and I'll just start because we just like starting, right, Steli?
Yes.
That's what you taught me.
Yeah.
Just start. Just fuck it and start. So the angle I'm going to throw out is a lot of people ask me about how do you hire people? What do you look for when you hire people, right? My first answer is, well, you have a certain culture. Like, you should look for people that are going to fit that culture. That's a pretty generic answer, but it's true. Like, you know, you should know that. But so I'll caveat it with that. But the one thing that I have – one point on mistakes that I'll make is that for me, the people I enjoy the most working with, want to keep working with for as long as I possibly can, which is forever in my case, if I can, which is usually, you know, there is no can. It's only do what, Yoda or something. But anyways, the one characteristic I've seen is when they make a mistake, there is nobody on the planet that can be more upset about them making that mistake than themselves.
Yep.
So what that means is, like, if they have a manager or boss, it's like the easiest job in the world. They make the mistake, they've got an email to you right away. This is the mistake I made. Here's why I made it. Here's what we're going to do about it next time. And here's what we're going to do to prevent it. They almost got their whole postmortem. Like, any questions, any thoughts? And you're just like, no, I'm good.
you go. You seem to have, like, to be in touch with what happened and know what to do next with it.
Right.
It's an interesting one. So one trait that you're looking for in people you want to work with is people who are all right, so I'll rephrase this for you, because you said people that are most upset about those mistakes than anyone else that could be. I'll say it in a different way. People that take full ownership of the mistake, 100%, not 99%, not once in a while, not 50%, like they take 100% ownership of 100% of the mistakes that happen always, right? So that's something I look for. These are the people that I enjoy working with. Is people that don't look for excuses and people that take full ownership for the shit that goes wrong. And not just the shit that goes wrong that they directly impact. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, when let's say there's a sales team, right? And there's multiple people on that sales team. And there's somebody on the sales team that's super junior that's working for one sales manager and then commits a big mistake. The other sales manager can just look at that and go, you know what? This person's not a direct report, so it's not my fucking problem. Or the other sales manager can look at that and go, this person's part of the fucking sales team. This person is part of the company. I feel responsibility both for my colleague sales manager and for this person. What could I have done to help this prevent this? What can I do moving forward to help prevent these things? And the people that take responsibility on that level, not only if it's the direct thing they messed up, and not only if it's something that their employees or direct reports messed up, well, then they look at the holistically, you know, at the harshest case of the entire company, but even a little bit more balanced at the department, the team, the group that they're in. These people are just the people that are going to naturally create the most value, be the easiest to work with, and the people that you have to worry the least. Because when somebody doesn't take ownership of a mistake, now all of a sudden it's your job to make them feel ownership, to make them feel responsible, and to commit to not making this in the future. And now you have to micromanage that mistake and them and keep an eye on them making that mistake again. And this just makes your life harder and it makes you less productive and effective. So not only is it bad for them, but it's also bad for the entire business. So people who can take full ownership of mistakes are awesome. Like, those are the people that I'm looking for. And this is the type of a type of culture that I want to have around me. Now, let's talk about the postmortem on the mistake, right? So what do we expect people to do once a mistake happened? Because the first thing I want them to do, that's for fact something I know, is I want them to be responsible. I want them to take ownership of it. after that, honestly, I'm a little less clear on what do I really want them to do? Because what is the next thing I expect them to? What is something that you're looking for? You're looking for somebody taking ownership. What else do they have to do when they made the mistake?
That's a great question. As you were talking, I was looking through my email, not to read it, but to find some of these emails that I'm talking about, because I get these emails.
I was curious what you were doing, but I was assuming it's important.
It's important. So the pattern I notice in these emails, because I don't get a lot of these, because people don't make mistakes. Great people don't make mistakes that often. But when they do, they take ownership. So the first line is usually something like, sorry, or, you know, it was my mistake. Here's what happened. I'll fix it soon. So I've seen those, like, you know, I'll fix it as soon as possible. Then another email. Sorry again. I fixed it. And here's what I'm going to do to make sure it never happens again. So that's, I would say that's like a, I would call a lightweight mistake, right? Something that could be fixed really quickly. Yeah. There's ones that I've seen people make where the whole website's been down. And it's a website that makes money every day, every minute, right? And people are trying to log in and stuff like that, right? And somebody took it down because, you know, they messed up the capitalization on one letter on some code somewhere, right? And those are usually epic fails. And I've seen people do this badly and had to literally let go of them as soon as possible, where they just wouldn't take ownership. They'd always blame someone else. But there's actually a clear path of ownership on most big mistakes, right? And so you just want the person catching it, and you want the person emailing for help right away and then writing up like what's going on. So I think, you know, just like many things in life, when there's a problem, then you've caused it, just communicate and make sure people know what they need to be doing for this and also what you're doing about it.
That's a great point. And one thing that I'll add to this is that, so once you take ownership and you communicate, so taking ownership is important, communicating is important. I think the last thing I'm looking for is, I want you to take at least a minute and think about what is the why did this happen and what do we do next? Because what I don't want you, if you take ownership, there's people that take ownership of their mistakes, but they're really lazy about the solution. So they'll come to you and they'll go, oh shit, I made this big mistake. I'm really sorry. I take full responsibility. What should I do? That sucks. Now, not only did you create the problem, but now I have to come up with a fucking solution. I'm over here trying to accomplish something else or fix my own mistake. That's right. So, and I get that sometimes it's hard. Like, I'm okay with somebody coming to me and going, here's the mistake I made. I'm sorry about this. I've tried to figure out a solution. I thought about these three things, but they all seem like bad ideas. I need help. That's cool.
That's totally cool.
But if you come to me and you do it frequently and you're just lazy in your thinking, you're just, oh shit, I fucked up. Let me go to this person and I know they're going to tell me what to do. Then why the fuck do I need you? Not only are you creating, like, not only don't you do your job right and you make mistakes, but you need your thinking to be outsourced to me. And this is not why I hired you, right? So then you're the worst possible person to work with. So I want you to take ownership. We want you to communicate. And I think we both want you to think about a solution on what the result or aftermath should look like. And even if you can't come up with something, just think through it before you approach me or somebody else on the team with getting more help, right?
Yeah. And I think the big context about the topic of mistakes today is just like, how do you deal with them with other people? That's really what we're talking about. And I know you and I have probably made our own mistakes and things like that. I'm not really sure.
No, I don't think so.
No, never. We don't make any mistakes. That's right. So, but I don't want to get into the personal mistake side. I want to keep going on this sort of idea. So one of my thoughts on this is that people don't commonly make mistakes. Like, it's not something where, like, most people are making mistakes every day that they would call a mistake, right? And so I don't think people have practice making mistakes and then having to communicate or having to solve them or having to resolve them. But then there are a lot of jobs, like, let's say a physician, right? A doctor or surgeon, right? Where they make a mistake, someone's life's at risk, right? And so what I find interesting is, like, imagine that, like, you made the mistake and someone's life was at risk. How would you solve the problem? Ooh. Right? That's what you can do in the moment, right? Pretend you're a surgeon. You're like, dude, I made a fucking mistake. I have to explain it. Someone died.
Yeah.
How would you explain it? I think that's a good, like, hack, not even a tip, just a hack on, like, how you can think about sort of making a mistake. Just think about somebody that makes mistakes all the time or makes mistakes that are, like, life-threatening and see, like, pretend you're them. How would you explain this if this was a surgery and somebody died?
Yeah, that's a good one. So let's ask the next question. So this is what we expect people who work with us or for us in terms of what they should do once they made a mistake. Now, what happens on the next level in terms of when somebody makes a mistake, do you expect them to never, ever make that mistake again? There's like two strikes and you're out, or three strikes and you're out, or like, what's your approach on the like, and then does it have to be the exact same mistake, or if it's like a slightly different mistake? Like, how do you think about like what happens after the, like, not thinking about the mistake singularly, but what happens afterwards, and what are the consequences that that has with the person that you're working with?
Oh, this is great. Yeah, it's funny. I usually like drive around or walk around. I'm not driving and texting, don't worry, or writing on my phone, but I use audio in the car. But like, I'll talk to my phone, and one of the things I said are old mistakes and new mistakes. That was actually one of the things about this topic that was on my mind.
Okay.
When I just jotted down some quick notes. And I think old mistakes are ones that you keep repeatedly basically making, and whether we're talking about like you as an individual or somebody that you see. And I think the way I see it, and this is, I've done this a lot, is like there's a pattern to people's mistakes. And if they keep making the same mistake again, all you have to do is figure out the pattern, the core pattern that's causing that same mistake to happen again and again. And sometimes if like I'm working with someone and they keep doing the same thing, I'll just point it out to them once I've seen it two or three times and say, hey, I think this is the fundamental reason you keep making the same mistake. So I won't say there's any two strikes, three strikes, four strikes and you're out. I'll actually try to educate them and tell them the pattern if they're not able to do that themselves, because I think most people are not very good at doing that. But I like to be good at doing that, which is when I make mistakes repeatedly, what the hell am I doing wrong, right? There's some root cause to it. You can use like the lean startup or Toyota's lean methodology and do a five whys on these mistakes, which is also a good way to do postmortems on mistakes. So I think that's one angle that I've seen work in this case about repetitive mistakes. Then there's new mistakes. And all you can do with new mistakes is right after the mistake, see if it's really, especially a really big one, is just see what you can do to prevent it next time. And sometimes you won't get it right because you might be wrong in your analysis of how it happened, but at least you'll have it either written down or mentally noted that like this mistake happened because of this reason. And then you can basically, hopefully, next time you make a mistake, see if it's related to an old one.
Yeah, I love that. I love that type of thinking. So what happens, what even is the difference between a mistake and failure? Or like the you know, because on the one hand, we're like, move fast and break things, right? That's like a commonly liked phrase, you know, all stolen by Facebook, but like some startup thing that's like, we want people to move fast, break things. Don't be afraid of failure. Don't be afraid of making mistakes.
Yeah.
But then when people make mistakes, we're like, all right, this was your, you know, a new one, but don't do this again. Like, so what's the balance between like people not being, because you can what you don't want, and I know that for a fact, is you don't want to work with people that optimize for avoiding mistakes.
Of course not.
So where's the balance for somebody between like growing and moving fast and not being afraid of making mistakes and then, you know, making too many of them? Like, how do you think about that balance?
So I think let's break this up. The reason this episode isn't called failure is because any failure is just a mistake.
Elaborate.
Here's what I mean. If you think of everything as a failure, then that's such a heavy, big word. It's like fail. Like, I mean, we have a poll. There's something called fail blog. Yeah. You can go look on there what a failure looks like, right? Nothing you do in business needs to look like that, right? So I'd say first, like, think of things as mistakes and know that you're going to make lots of them.
Yeah.
And honestly, this is a really weird thought, and I'd love to know what you think about it, because it's half formed. But what I would say would be, what if you optimized for mistakes, new ones?
New ones. That's an interesting thought.
Like, you designed your work life so you're just making mistakes.
That points to the type of person that probably doesn't make the type of mistakes we're talking about. So maybe we need, maybe new and old is not enough.
Okay.
Because I think there is a difference in types of mistakes.
A dumb mistake, a smart mistake?
Yes.
How would you define those?
All right, so
let's do it. All right, tell me about dumb mistakes.
So dumb mistakes versus smart mistakes. All right, so dumb mistakes are mistakes that could have been avoided by you having either a common sense, like doing something that didn't require experience to know that it's wrong. Maybe that's a way of thinking of it. Like, if you do something and it did not need experience for you to be able to spot that it would probably be wrong if you do it, right? So let's say, you know, somebody sends your company an email and goes, you know, lashes out on you and is really unhappy, like, oh, the app didn't work and you guys really suck, and they're really angry, like an angry customer email, and then you reply by telling them that they're assholes and they can go and fuck themselves.
Yeah.
All right, so you've done it for the first time. It's a mistake, but it's a dumb mistake because it didn't require you to go through the experience of doing it to learn that it's a bad idea. It just requires some common sense, some intelligence, some little bit of like thinking. So when I think dumb mistakes are mistakes that are caused by not having common sense, not thinking something through, being sloppy.
So let's not call it experience, because I think that's the wrong word.
So what should we call it?
I think sloppiness. I like
sloppiness.
I like all the things you said except experience. So, I don't want people to think they need experience to make good mistakes.
No, but okay. That's fair. That's a fair
maybe
point.
Maybe it's good or bad. How about not dumb or smart?
Yeah.
There's good mistakes. There's bad mistakes.
Good mistakes. Okay. So maybe another way is. Another way of thinking, and we're brainstorming here, right? So
good.
This is
we're
new
about
thoughts.
Mistakes. Nobody talks about mistakes.
Right? So maybe this whole episode is going to be a mistake. So I think good versus bad. Good mistakes are mistakes where at the end of it, either you or the team or the company learned something that will help us move forward in a better way. Bad mistakes are mistakes where nobody learned anything, or nobody should have learned anything by doing this. So
a good mistake you learn from, a bad mistake there was nothing to learn?
There's almost nothing to fucking learn.
Except that you're a dumbass?
Yeah, except that you're dumb and that you shouldn't have done it. Like, that's all there's to learn.
Got it.
About it, right? That's a bad, like, it's a bad mistake because you only, there's no ROI. It's not an investment. You know, the old thing where, some guy at IBM, you know, back in the day made this massive multi-million-dollar mistake, and he went to the CEO of IBM back then and he was like, here's my resignation. You know, I lost us all these millions. And the CEO was like, are you fucking kidding me? IBM just invested millions in your education. You're not going to somebody else.
Right.
I don't remember the entire story, but it's somewhat like that. So if you make a mistake it's an investment, either you or our company, by helping us learn something or improve, then that's a good mistake. And it's an investment, right? But if nobody learned anything and it was obvious that you should have not done this and it was not that hard for you to avoid that mistake, then it's a bad mistake. And maybe you should sign in your resignation, maybe not with the first one, but eventually, right? So new and old,
good
and
bad.
All right? Okay, so maybe if you have that framework, you can teach that to your team and communicate it with your team. And then when people make mistakes, you can look at those mistakes through that paradigm and help them, coach them. And if somebody if you check in with somebody week by week and you constantly go, here's another list of bad and old mistakes you're making, then at some point both of you will know, all right.
We just invented a quadrant for mistakes.
Yes.
We should diagram it in the notes.
Yes, I'm curious if we find it.
We made it up right now. So we have a mistake framework.
Yes.
This is Stelly and Heaton's mistake framework.
And I'm glad we have it.
Yes.
I was not sure that I would be as excited about this as I am right now, because this is something, like, I've been thinking a lot about, like, my one-on-one conversations with my team and how to make these more productive and how to be more helpful as a coach to people that work with me.
Yeah.
And this is an amazing framework that I'll start using immediately.
Awesome. So we're going to draw it out. So my tip, I'm going to steal the tip first. My tip on mistakes, take our framework. If you start feel like you're making a lot of mistakes, take the framework and start plotting your mistakes on the framework, on the graph, so you can understand what kind of mistakes are you actually making. Even the thought process of categorizing your mistakes can probably be really helpful. One of the reasons I suggest this is because most people don't like thinking about their mistakes. Don't be that person.
I love it. Yeah. And then here's my tip. For the next 30 days, try this experiment. Try owning every mistake that is being done in your startup. Every single one. Doesn't matter if it's the CEO that makes it or the intern. Doesn't matter if it's an engineering mistake and you're in sales. How about the thought experiment of what if I owned it 100%? What would I have to do about this moving forward? And how would that impact the work that I do and the value I create? I think that's it from us. Make sure to go to thestartupchat.com and sign up for the email list. We'll give you some exclusive fucking goodies. Maybe this diagram is going to be only for people on the list.
Sure.
And make sure to go to thestartupchat.com/FB for Facebook and join our closed Facebook group to share some of your mistakes with us and some of your thinking around mistakes. Talk to you guys soon.
Make better mistakes tomorrow.
Yes.
Did you pick one of the two action items from Stelly and Heaton already?
Do that now and snap into action.
It's time to grow your business.